Okay, so that's a little taste. I thought of something also, like when Marcy shared about her daughter, Victory. I've seen a number of times with children and babies and a dynamic where the child doesn't want to leave mama, so the child chooses to stay. I've also seen where the mother isn't willing to let go of the child that dies or the baby, and because of that, the baby stays or the child stays. I'm not saying that in your case. It just made me think of that to share, because it's another reason why children stay is that whole idea of will and choice. And Yahweh seems to honor even after death, like Cindy shared with us, even after death, he honors choice. And I'm of the opinion that we have, even in eternity, we're going to still have our free will. That isn't going to go away. And even Lucifer, that's why he sinned, because he had free will. And I believe with after the great throne judgment that we will, sin will be taken out of the picture and we'll still have our free will, but there won't be anything to choose, right? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil will be gone, destroyed. And so anyway, just to throw that out there, food for thought. Again, I know this is a deep subject, controversial. Believe me, I've been through the struggle myself. But the fruit is profound. I will also say this, if you had 1, 2, 10, 50 unclean spirits leave today, it's really common to experience about 3 days of some fatigue, tiredness. We don't understand why, we just see the pattern. And then after that third day, it seems like everything in your brain, your body, it comes online, and there's a shift, a pretty significant shift that happens. So just keep that in mind if you find yourself feeling unusually tired. And you may think, oh, man, it was because I spent a week sitting in a chair listening. But it might not. It might be the if you had a human spirit leave. So anybody have any questions after that? Yes, Jackie.
Yeah, when the scripture talks about the unclean spirit leaves and then comes back with more because the house is not swept clean and filled, how do you sweep the house clean and fill it?
Yeah, that's a great question. The passage being that when the unclean spirit leaves the house, then the owner of the house sweeps the house clean, but that unclean spirit comes back and brings extras with him, and because the house is empty, they move back in. So the cleaning happens through the blood of Yeshua. That's why we ask angels to come and clean the area and apply the blood to it, but the infilling has to come from Yahweh. That's why it's vital that you ask him to fill that space that just was vacated with his presence, so that should they come back, and often they try, unless they've been, that's why I believe it's important that we ask Yeshua to come and escort them away. They can choose to just leave and they'll still walk around the earth and they'll come back or they'll go to somebody else. But if he takes them wherever he takes them, then they're out of the game, so to speak. So that's one reason why we do it that way, is make sure they're out of the game and out of commission. Any other questions? Yes, Troy. Yeah, have I ever seen an unclean spirit manifest in the natural that wasn't in somebody or attached to somebody? That's called a ghost. And actually, yes. And we actually had it happen in our house this week. Margie gets up one morning, Tuesday morning, I think it was, she says, Oh my goodness, oh my goodness. I was laying in bed last night, and all of a sudden an older man was standing in my bedroom, and I knew he was coming, and I'm saying, no way, you're not getting in me. And that's a ghost. She saw it, felt it. I don't think you heard anything, did you? Yeah. And so, you know, I'm like, how in the world? But we don't know how they get. So they could have followed one of you here. You know, they travel, right? They travel around. So anyway, that's called a ghost. My other sister, Melanie, that those of you that are on the farm know, my youngest sister, she works for a church. And in the church is over 100 years old. And that building has a little girl ghost. And there's a one or two more other adults in there. And Melanie has heard the little girl. The janitor quit his job because of seeing her, and et cetera, et cetera. So I told Melanie, I said, oh my goodness, I said, you can't conjure her up. Don't do that. But if you see her the next time, see if she can hear you. Talk to her. Let her know that she can leave and she can go with Yeshua. So we'll see. I'm praying that she'll get to see her and that she'll listen to Melanie. She's heard her. They had a lady die in their church, and Melanie was at work the next week. They'd had this funeral, and then all of a sudden, this woman was the organist. All of a sudden, the organ starts playing. She gets up and goes in there, and there's nobody there. So, I mean, that's just... Yeah, doors open and shut all by themselves. There's one wing of this church that she will not even go in because of there's a not real happy ghost in that building that isn't nice. Yes. Well, I don't know why it would be any different than it is when they're in this house. As to a building house, we had a lady we worked with who her house was haunted in another state, and so this family were not believers, but they heard about this through a friend of a friend, so they asked, would we be willing to help out? I was speaking in this church. It was in Pennsylvania, so the pastor asked if we'd go over. We went. Long story short, we had a God encounter, led the grandmother in a God encounter. None of them were saved. It doesn't matter. She saw Yeshua. That's good enough. And asked him what's wrong with their house because they were having crazy things happening in their house. Unexplainable, scary, frightening. And the grandkids were screaming at night and it's going to get me and things like that. So Yeshua showed her, in her house that the former owner was angry and that he was in there. It was his spirit living in that house. So we did everything. Yeshua got him out and et cetera. Well, come to find out, the story we found out was that the owner was an elderly man. He had made his children promise them that he could die in his house. He loved his house. He loved his house. And they promised him that they'd leave him there. Well, when it came down to it, they took him out and put him in a nursing home. He was furious and angry. So he came back, and he didn't want them in his house. And he was tormenting the children and the grandparents and everybody. The whole family got saved that day, by the way. She had gathered the whole family there. And so they all gave their lives because they saw. And they heard when he left, he slammed the back door as hard as he could slam it. And they've never heard of him. He's never come back. He's gone. So, yeah, stuff's real. Mm-hmm. Yeah, some attached to land, some attached to houses. It's whatever it appears to be, like in that case, that guy didn't want to give up his house.
Right, and then like part two is like I'm thinking
I would have a God encounter so fast with your husband and ask the Lord to shine his light and see if there are any in him. That's what I would do right away. And then get him out. Yeah. Yes, yes. Oh, yes. You bet it does. Seances, you bet it does. You're wide open for them to come in. Yeah, that's one of those detestable sins. Yep. Anybody else? Yes. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. That's crazy.
How would somebody help them?
You got to be called, first of all, by Yahweh to take that one on. And then you go and preach the gospel over the area and ask who will accept him and let them. Same, it's the same. It's always Yeshua, always the cross, always the blood, and he's always the deliverer. Yeah. Makes me think of quantum physics where stones absorb sound and they're playing it back. We just don't have ears to hear it. You sounds like you were able, gifted to hear it for some reason. And that would be my question if I were you, is Yahweh, why did you let me hear that? He wants you to do something or pray for it to happen, or I would ask him why he allowed you to hear that.
And I'd say a person dies, can they kind of interact?
Yeah, great story there. I've had the same where people say somebody's passed away and they say, oh yeah, my grandmother comes or my mother or my husband, and I feel their presence and it's comforting. I believe that's real. I was the same as you. I thought that's a demon faking it and pretending to be, but I don't believe that any longer. I really believe that that is possible and can happen. And so, now if that were me and that happened, I would now be, when they manifest, I'm not going to call them to come to me, but if they manifest themselves, I would, why are you still here? Wouldn't you like to go be with the Lord and try to help them transition out and find out what's going on and what, why, et cetera? But yeah, I fully believe that is true, that that happens. Yes, Anne? Is it the whole person or part of the person? I think when you die, the only exception, that question mark that I have is, are the parts of your soul that are in Sheol, when do they come back? Do they come back at the great judgment when the souls come up out of the earth? That's kind of what I think, but I don't know for sure. But certainly whatever part of you is intact when you leave this body is with you, whatever part that is, whether or not the captivity parts join you then or after the judgment, I don't know. All right, anything else? We're going to take a break in just a minute. Scott, and oh, yes, Scott.
So in summary,
there already.
Okay,
there.
They're already, right. But that's what we're saying right here.
Yeah.
With this experience that we have right here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeshua, yeah. We did this, and it's pretty cool.
It's really cool.
And we should
celebrate. Yeah, the angels are celebrating. Amen, I agree. Jubal, did you have your hand up?
I did. I was just wondering, so this doesn't have to be completely answered right now. A book that I've read, and it's actually biblical and could be completely trash, but it's Enoch.
Oh, yeah. Oh boy. Oh good. Yeah, during the flood, all the people on the earth except eight died in the flood. What about their spirits? You know, what would I have to say about that? Well, that's Yahweh's business as to what, where they are and what they do. I think the greater question is the Nephilim. I believe the reason Yahweh brought the flood was because the DNA of the human race had been defiled by the Elohim, with a little e, who'd had sex with the daughters of women, and they produced not a human, a hybrid. And this hybrid was not human and not God, but a blend of the two. And therefore, only the human race has been offered salvation. You've got who knows how many on the earth, if not all. Some people say, but when it says that Noah, there were only eight righteous, that means there were only eight people on the planet that weren't defiled with this Elohim distorted DNA. And so their spirits are released from their Nephilim bodies when the flood happens. Where are they and what are they doing? And I don't have the answer, but they're somewhere. They're doing something. And their father is a fallen angel, a fallen Elohim. So, and they don't have salvation. So most likely they're going about their father's business. And there's some commentators, some theory that those are the demons that we battle today. And it's very possible. So that's the big question to me. Right, that's evil. Right, I agree. Yeah, so Yeshua's calling. So here's let's just carry that thought a little bit further and then we'll take a break. So Yeshua said, right before he returns, it will be like the days of Noah. So you have to say, what are the days of Noah? Where the entire human race, except eight people, are defiled and given themselves over to evil. Fallen Elohim are having sex with humans and producing hybrids that are without a conscience, they're evil at the core. No hope of salvation. And the thoughts Yahweh said the thoughts and the imaginations of their heart is continually evil. And so that's what he describes the end of this human age to look like. And then he goes on to say, and it's also like Sodom. Sodom, they were so perverted that everyone except Lot and his family wanted to have sex with these angels that show up and are willing to kill in order to do so. And I believe it's because they recognized and they were accustomed to having sex with angels. And hey, here's some angels here, so why not? And Lot was not allowing it, and so they were angry. So that is Yeshua's description of the end of the age. And there are a number of people that claim that they've seen Nephilim, they've seen Nephilim cities, that it exists on the planet right now. And if you've been involved in, or know anyone who's been involved in satanic ritual abuse, many of them will tell you, absolutely, it's happened to me, or it happened to so-and-so. And there are babies that are being born today from having sex with fallen Elohim. And you say, I had the pastor tell me one time, that can't be true, it can't be true. Angels don't have the equipment. Well, somehow they did in Genesis 6. I don't know how, I don't want to know. But if it happened before, and Yeshua says it's going to happen again, we might want to believe the Bible. So the closer we get to the end of this history, this era called the human race on planet Earth, I believe the more important it's going to be for people to be in the kingdom of God, of Yahweh, even to not just for eternal salvation, but just for surviving in the time that they're living in, just for protection from what's coming. I mean, if you guys haven't read the book of Revelation, it gets pretty bad on this planet, really bad before it's all said and done. And yet we keep our eyes on the end of the story that Yahweh is sovereign. He's allowing it. Satan is a puppet in his hand, and the demons are puppets in his hand. And Satan, to the end of the story, has to get permission from Yahweh to do anything. And so does the Antichrist, and so does the false prophet. So Satan wants you to think he's in charge and wants you to think that he can do this, that, and the other. And he's so under Yahweh's thumb. And so when you recognize that, yeah, it's going to be tough, but to remember Yahweh is sovereign. He wins. He gets what he's after. And what he's after is a bride without wrinkle, spot, or blemish. And that bride is going to be purified as though through fire, I believe, in the tribulation. I just believe it. So I don't see any scripture anywhere. You can't give me one that says we get taken out of here before it all starts. I don't see it. And I see contrary. I see where Paul over and over in the New Testament tells us the Antichrist is coming. He's even here now. Get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. And so I think there's going to be a lot of people angry and offended because they've been told that they get to escape and they're not going to be prepared when all hell breaks loose. And that's my opinion. So I didn't want to open that can of worms, but I just did. So there we go. Online access to this conference, if you want video of this, contact greg.triplett with two T's three T's, at harvesthome.org, and he will set you up for that. Please don't post it on public anything, because we do have people here that are in hiding, and we do not want this video released on the public. So we're going to trust you to not pass it around, not give it to people that, you know, just keep it here, because we got to keep our people safe, all right?